Good. Now we're going to switch topics. Gary, we're going to talk a little bit about education. So first question is, currently, what is the greatest need for our schools? Whether that be technology, safety, or curriculum, and how can you support those needs?
So education is the key to the future. It's the door to opportunity for people. And we need to support our teachers. And one of the things, one of the tools we have is that it's performance-based, so that Act 10 changed things and offered us the opportunity to pay good teachers more. And the other point that should be made is that we need to have given more flexibility to the school boards, and I expect that that's going to be the key, because really education should be local. You need to work with the businesses that are in the community to provide opportunities for the young people that come up if they're inclined to go into those businesses. And one of the other things we did too was pass legislation that allowed people with business experience, technical expertise, to be able to teach classes if they can't hire somebody with experience in that area. So there's some tools that are available that will be beneficial to local communities.
Good. You talked about teachers. The next question deals a little bit with that. And how can you support our area educators and teachers using programs and or incentives?
Well, one of the things that we just recently passed, the governor, because we had a surplus, was able to give child tax credits of $100 for each child that was in the school system, so that people with children could be able to get some support.
Right.
We also had a three-day sales tax credit for school supplies. So those two tools had a tremendous impact. We they didn't quite get to $100 million, but darn close. That was pretty impressive. We also provided the Department of Justice with $100 million, recognizing that school safety needed to be a priority. A lot of schools already had programs in place, but they utilized, and local schools and the local police department worked with the Department of Justice to implement it, programs, and they utilized $60 million in providing safety to the schools that didn't have it in place already. The other $40 million is used on mental health, because that's a serious problem. It seems like people are under more stress these days, and so they're utilizing that. We increase funding to rural broadband to provide technical expertise in a timely manner. It's something that we have to be globally competitive. And then when it comes to curriculum, we have apprenticeship programs. There's over 15,000 children in the state of Wisconsin that utilize that program. We have civic classes and life skills classes that have really made a difference and continue to.
Okay. Good. Last question under education. Of course, those students that graduate from high school and move on to a technical college or to college itself run into loans. So what do you see as a solution on student loan debt, Gary?
Well, the average student loan debt in the state of Wisconsin is $28,000. But if you look at people with real expertise, veterinarians, doctors, lawyers, their debt load can be a couple hundred thousand. So it kind of depends, but $28,000 is the average. And one of the things that we have done is frozen tuition for the last 6 years. So that has saved students $6,000 over the course of the last 6 years. We also implemented a requirement that people take a financial class.
Okay.
So that they learn about balancing budgets and buying a car, buying a house, what it all takes, what it entails, so they have some life skills. And there are organizations like credit unions that have they have facilities right in high schools, and then they train children on how to do a budget, how to balance your checkbook, and then they bring in other expertise on these life skills classes. So we also have colleges and technical colleges that are working closely with the high schools, and they're providing low-cost classes that they're able to take credits prior to going into tech school or colleges, so that helps hold down costs.
You bet. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. Our next topic is questions on business, employment, and agriculture. So first question, in August, there were discussions about Wisconsin wedding barns and alcohol beverage regulations. Is there anything we need to do to refine Wisconsin alcohol laws, or are they working well just the way they are?
Well, the three-tier system is what we have in the state of Wisconsin, where you can either be a producer, a distributor, or a wholesaler or retailer, and you can't be one or the other. We changed the rules just a little bit to allow producers of beer to be microbreweries to be able to sell their own beer on site, but there's a lot of issues that deal with alcohol that need to be corrected. Right now, wineries, and when I first got in the legislature, there were 23, now there's about 150.
Wow.
And so we need to recognize that they need to change too, and the way the rule is right now, they can only stay open until 9 p.m., and you can't really have a wedding or other events if that's all the longer you're going to stay open. So that time, I think, would be good if it changed. But the three-tier system, I think, was well-meaning. It was prohibition, but I'm a dairy farmer, so I like to think of things in terms of the dairy industry where we try to provide the consumer with whatever they want. So if they want something that's different than we have, we need to provide it, and we need to find a way to do it.
Sure.
And so I'm more of a free market kind of guy. I think we have such an opportunity in the state of Wisconsin. We have all these supper clubs and a lot of bars and wineries and microbreweries and distilleries. Well, let's take advantage of that and expand opportunities for people. And so I think we could use some change. I don't want to blow up the whole system.
Sure.
I want to work with people, and I want them talking together and try to figure out how to do it.
Okay. Good.